Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Kaf B'Mar Cheshvan Parashas Chayei Sa'ah Tashenayin Zion, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 20 November 2016, webcasting from Harei Yehuda, the hills of Judea, origin of the word Jew, where the Jewish religion is constantly under attack by Jews. Maybe it was a coincidence or deliberately planned, but last Friday, the newspapers put the spotlight on an interview in Israel Hayom newspaper with the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, former chief Sephardi rabbi of all of Israel, Shlomo Amau, who pronounced on sodomy as an abomination. This was Erev Shabbos Vayera, when we read of the ancient biblical story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And for using the biblical description, he was tongue-lashed by the enlightened. I think several complaints have been filed with the police against him for incitement to, I presume, hatred, and who knows where that can lead to. Standard operating procedure in what is understood today to be liberalism, which reminds me that political parties and ideologies have a lifespan, and what we are witnessing these days maybe is the death rattle of Western liberalism after four centuries, which is about right. In the Torah, one can trace a series of historical epics, each one spanning 400 years. We just read last week of the first covenant between the parts, in which Hashem tells Avraham that 400 years in the future, a people will come from his loins. And so it was. 400 years, or 430, depending on how you count. 400 years later, the children of Israel escaped Egypt. 12 tribes that 50 days later became a nation. And they had 40 years in the desert, and Aharon, the first high priest, passed from this world. And the first high priest in the temple took up his post some 440 years later. The period of the judges lasted that long. It took over four centuries for the tribes who settled the land all around it to congeal enough as a people to deserve their first national king. And when one looks at European nationalism over the last 400, 500 years, we see the same process. Then the first temple stood for, I think, 403 years. The second temple stood for 409 years. According to my one-volume Columbia Encyclopedia, the entry on the Roman Empire says it lasted 400 years. That's 10 generations. If a generation is 40 years, that's 10. And the Torah also teaches that there were 10 generations between Adam and Noah, and 10 generations between Noah and Avraham. And if we can mark the birth of modern liberalism from the late 17th century and early 18th century, the age of John Locke and the Glorious Revolution in England, and Thomas Hobbes and Edmund Burke, if we mark it from then to the present, that's four centuries. And it sure looks like Western liberalism is going the way of all flesh. For sure, the liberalism of Thomas Jefferson and his contemporaries, he was born in 1743 and died in 1826, is not the liberalism of today. I spent years reading his writing, his correspondence, as a leading figure in the American Revolution, which, of course, concerned that period and his 5 years in Europe, his presidency. His affairs were manifold, though I remember one solitary reference to homosexuality. Oh, I forget the word he used. He didn't use that one because that was not coined until the 1880s, I think, by a German psychologist, and it was clear in Jefferson's mind, nonetheless, that this was a negative behavior. Versus today, when liberals are those who say critics of this behavior are hateful bigots. To repeat, liberalism today ain't what it used to be. It also used to be liberalism, a fighting doctrine. I think one reason a generation ago I could not find a publisher for my work on the Barbary Shore was my discovery that Thomas Jefferson, the father, patron saint of American liberalism, was the number one war hawk in the United States, calling for the violent suppression of Muslim hijacking and enslavement in North Africa. It was flaming liberals like Jefferson who ignited the American Revolution, And they were the ones in Jefferson's time who were most gung-ho for smashing the misnamed Barbary Pirates. That was the popular nickname for them. But Jefferson learned when he reached Europe that these were not pirates, but the official fleets of Muslim city-states who justified their capture and enslavement of Christians with the jihad. These pirates, who did not get drunk on rum and prayed at sea three times daily on their rugs spread out on deck, were not your usual pirates. So it was reassuring today to learn that Mike Pompeo, first in his class at West Point Harvard Law, the new CIA director, has openly spoken of bombing Iran's nuclear facilities, just like Israel did when Saddam's were bombed in 1991 and Syria's in 2007. Of course, Iran has attacked the United States in acts of war repeatedly since 1979, and the proper response is to declare war and destroy the enemy's military capability, starting in this case with his nuclear plants, just as Israel did. Less pleasing was the news that Trump is considering James Mattis for Secretary of Defense, evidently a serious fighting general. That could be problematic for Israel, for he seems to be an anti-Jew. How much of an anti-Jew, I don't know. He is of the opinion that the U.S. suffers in its relations with the Arabians because of its support for Israel, which is an ignorant statement. That's what the Arabs tell him, but it has no meaning. Relations between the Arabs and the United States are a function of their mutual defense concerns and business, oil markets, weapon sales, you name it. It's also ignorant for ignoring the reality that Muslims don't just hate Jews, they hate Christians too. One wonders if General Mattis knows that inside the golden dome of the rock, built on where our temples stood, as decoration, there are verses painted all around the bottom of the dome cursing Christians. But I digress. We began with a controversial interview that appeared last Friday in the magazine for Hayom, Israel Hayom, with Rabbi Shlomo Amar, in which he said he cannot rewrite the Torah, which judges homosexuality as a negative behavior. It's not to be recommended. And why? Well, I'll give you my take in studying the Parsha before Shabbos on Friday. We start with Genesis, chapter 18, verses 11 through 15, when the three angels pay Abraham and Sarah a visit to inform them they're going to have a baby. Sarah laughs. The text tells us by inference that she was menopausal. She laughs at the news for herself and for her husband, who is old, she says. Another inference, perhaps, that Avraham was a member, shall we say, of the Viagra generation. And then the angels look down on Sodom. And we move to verse 17 and to Hashem, who, so to speak, is thinking out loud, quote, "Shall I conceal what I'm about to do now, that Abraham is surely to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him? For I have loved him, because he commands his children, his household after him, that they keep the way of Hashem, doing charity and justice," and so on. So Hashem says, because of the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah, has become great, and because their sin has been very grave, and he descends to check them out, and in the end destroys them. What we have here is the story of the birth of Abraham's son Isaac, who will be taught the ways of Hashem, which include teaching him how to teach the next generation and the generation after, followed by the story of the men of Sodom, who will have no children. That's what's wrong with their behavior. They have torn apart the unique pleasure of procreation from the act itself. Maybe Jefferson used the word degenerate, for that is an accurate one. To generate the next generation is the definition of procreation, and in this behavior the opposite takes place. There's no generation, but its opposite, degeneration. Which is why those addicted to this vice have been called degenerates. Hashem speaks of his love of Avraham, who will, to repeat from the internal dialogue, between the references to Sodom, command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of Hashem, doing charity and justice, etc. So maybe we are in the end times of liberalism, as it has been known over four centuries, and have now entered its degenerate phase. As I concluded last webcast, it's no longer a question of left versus right, but sane versus insane, about this vice and lots of other things, too. Today's liberals are out of their minds.
מזמור שיר, שיר ליום השבת. טוב להודות להשם ולזמר לשמחה עליון, להגיד בבוקר חסדך ואמונתך צדיק כתמר, כתמר יפרח, כארז בלבנון יסגר, שתולים בבית השם, בחצרות אלוקינו. שיר, שיר ליום השבת. טוב להודות להשם ולזמר לשמחה עליון, להגיד בבוקר חסדך ואמונתך בלילות. צדיק כתמר, כתמר יפרח, כארז בלבנון יסגר, שתולים בבית השם, בחצרות אלוקינו. שיבה דשנים ורעננים, ורעננים יהיו. להגיד כי ישר, כי ישר, השם צורי ולא עוולת עמו. כתמר, כתמר יפרח, כארז בלבנון יסגר, שתולים בבית השם, בחצרות אלוקינו.
Well, to continue where we left off, and as evidence of my speculation, the ADL, that quintessentially liberal organization, meaning this Jonathan Greenblatt, who now heads it, he attacked Rabbi Amar for citing the Torah that calls for what the men of Sodom did, an abomination, a sect of abomination, toeva in Hebrew, which word, when split apart into two words, would mean to make a mistake in it. Toei, to make a mistake. Va, to mean in it. The word abomination in English is actually worse, I think, than in Hebrew for this. An abomination is doing the wrong thing, making a mistake, which one can cease making if one finds the strength to stop the behavior. Not easy, when I believe sexual perversions are the most powerful addictions in society, in a class with heroin and cocaine and alcoholism. And I will not be surprised if someday medical science investigates the chemical changes in the body in sodomites to be very similar to the chemistry of physical addiction to external substances such as nicotine, alcohol, and heroin. Last week, the Oxford Dictionary, Bible of the English language, reported that that over the last year there has been a 2,000-fold increase in the appearance of the word post-truth, meaning feelings are the truth, no longer facts. Feeling the need to see a woman as president trumps all facts known about this woman. The need to break the glass ceiling was the stuff of opinion pieces by lachrymose liberal women with nary a nod to the crimes of this woman that she committed as Secretary of State in running her secret unsecured email and demanding pay-for-play payoffs from foreign dignitaries. For these crimes alone in office, she deserves a serious term in a federal prison. And of course, these crimes were completely separate from being an accomplice after the fact to a predatory serial rapist. None of this apparently had any impact on those who voted for her. And that scares the hell out of yours truly. The Trump victory was certainly a great relief and a pleasure. But the fact remains that most of those who voted, voted for her. And it's a fair bet there will be more of them in 4 years and 8 years. Unless the U.S., and really the West, sparks a revival of Western civilization in order to preserve itself. On the bright side, perhaps, is the evidence that liberal Judaism, the Reform, and the conservative Jews are going the way of the Sadducees and the Essenes and the Petusians and the Karaites and the Samaritans, all of them rejectors of the Talmud, which contains the key to survival. It shows the way how to adapt the Torah 3,000 years ago to contemporary life in every generation. Instead, we get the ADL's Greenblatt, who said, now fasten your seatbelts now, quote, "The remarks of Rabbi Amar about the LGBT community and Reform Jews distort the core values of Judaism, a religion whose ways are pleasant ways and all her paths are peace, which believes that every person was created in the image of God," close quote. This is so irritating. This perversion of saying that Rabbi Amar's direct quote from the Torah is a distortion of the core values of Judaism. He ought to be ashamed of himself. For he's the one distorting the plain sense of the Torah and its values in the manner of this unacceptable behavior. He is the distorter of the core values. The Sodom episode follows directly from the announcement that Sarah is going to have a son, because Avraham is going to see to it that his offspring are taught and live in according to the ways of Hashem. Greenblatt says every person was created in the image of God. Yeah, right. Does that include Adolf Hitler and Yasser Arafat too? There's a sloppiness here in his way of thinking that bugs me. He said the chief rabbi stigmatizes and excludes the LGBT community. Yes, it's supposed to. It's meant to. If it's a kindness to tell a smoker to stop smoking because it's bad for him and the environment. People have been known to die, non-smokers, by inhaling secondary smoke. If it's right to tell a smoker his addiction is not good for him and for society, it's no less right to judge an addiction to this vice, which is likewise a behavior that should not be engaged in. I think Thomas Jefferson would understand that. Tolerance and compassion for the afflicted addicted, is praiseworthy, but that never must be confused with blessing the behavior, which is what Western society has done over the last generation. And it's not a behavior has flourished at the same time abortion has been blessed, and literally scores of millions of babies in the womb have been killed in the West. So that now in Europe, all the predictions are for the disappearance of the nations in Europe that have been known for 4 centuries and counting. The Dutch, the Belgians, the Swedes, they all seem to be going the way of the Druids and the Celts, the Etruscans and the Visigoths. At its most degenerate and pathological, Western culture has produced, in that apotheosis of the feminist career woman Hillary Clinton, who had less than 2.1 children, a women's liberation movement that defines women's liberation as liberation from being a woman and a mother altogether.
בוחן כליות ולב גלוי וידוע לפניך שאני רוצה לעבוד אותך בוחן כליות ולב גלוי וידוע לפניך שאני רוצה לעבוד אותך אני עבד לעם קדוש על אדמת הקודש אני מחויבת לפעול עמך כל תפילותיי, כל דימותיי נטפו על זה הסלע לגאולת עמך, בניך ונחלתך בוחן כליות ולב גלוי וידוע לפניך שאני רוצה לעבוד אותך בוחן כליות ולב גלוי וידוע לפניך שאני רוצה לעבוד אותך אני עבד לעם קדוש על אדמת הקודש אני מחויבת לפעול עמך כל תפילותיי, כל דימותיי נטפו על זה הסלע לגאולת עמך, בניך ונחלתך כליות ולב גלוי וידוע לפניך שאני רוצה לעבוד אותך
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, here on the home front, for what seems like the umpteenth time, enemies of the Prime Minister are accusing him of a crime in order to remove him from office. Having zilch in the way of intelligently opposing his policies, all they can do is paint him as a criminal. Earlier this month was the anniversary of the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, and as usual, Bibi was accused of inciting Yigal Amir. And demanded was an investigation into that charge. And now he's being accused of ordering up three more German-built submarines in order to make a bundle of money and to hell with national defense. The charges of the leftists are so out of this world. They basically accuse him not only of incitement to murder, but the colossal stupidity of doing that in public, and here they are outraged that his lawyer was involved in the negotiations and the contract, apparently. Embittered Bogey Alone is claiming that he opposed the order for the three new subs, but Yoav Gallant, a minister of building and an outstanding general in his own right, and even Bibi's nemesis, Naftali Bennett, came to his defense, saying this accusation is nonsense. Gallant says, as the Prime Minister says, the procedure for ordering those submarines was both a military necessity and done through proper channels. Bennett, too, dismissed the accusation. Netanyahu is not only corrupt, but he does care about national defense and chooses not to harm it. It's also so annoying, especially when more important matters are pressing, like the latest clash here with Islam, which is domestic. Hundreds of thousands of Jews are forced from sleep at 4 a.m. every morning these days. As the call to prayer from mosques, minarets, blares out, the government wants to do something about this, and I think the government has looked into how Europe is dealing with it. The same problem. There are laws in some of those countries denying the Muslims the right to turn on this recorded wailing from loudspeakers in the dead of night. On Friday, there were demonstrations in Arab towns here. All told, a few thousand people were marching in protest against pending legislation meant to defend people, mostly Jews, but also some Muslims, from this annoying aggression of blaring loudspeakers at 4 o'clock in the morning. The Arab protesters, of course, protested this as racism. And never mind, nobody's racist has anything to do with it. I just hope an intelligent solution is devised and things do not get out of hand, which could happen if and when Israel takes a stand and has to, as it must, declare that Israel is officially a Jewish state. Just look at the flag. As surely as there are 56 officially Muslim states, and in a conflict between Islam and Judaism here, Judaism will prevail. And Muslims who object to that have to be told that if they don't like it, they're free to leave and go live with their fellow Muslims in all those other countries. For sure, this is but another battle in the war between Islam and everyone else. Because they have the correct religion, as they call it. They believe they have the right to overrun the world. So this is just another episode in their imperial project. And one of their weapons is political correctness. Dictating a prohibition on any resistance and criticism of Islam. Look at just what happened to Geert Wilders in Holland. He was fined 5,000 euros for saying he did not want any more Moroccans coming into the country to take up residence. This was called racism, and again, race had nothing to do with what he said. The collapse of liberalism is also on display when in the name of respecting diversity, free speech itself becomes a crime. Early last month, the ECRI, the European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance, another bureaucracy in Brussels, told the British media to stop identifying the religion of criminals. Doing that, they said, only encourages Islamophobia. Indeed, the cringing French no longer mention the religion of Muslims who murder in the name of Islam or just in any crime. Does this sound familiar? This was the message of Obama, the jihadi in the Oval Office who ordered all military literature linking Islam and terrorism to be destroyed. And he insisted that Fort Hood and San Bernardino and the Boston Marathon had nothing to do with Islam. Likewise, the head choppers in the Middle East. Think of that, the President of the United States ordering fellow Americans to say nothing against Islam, this creep who released terrorists from Guantanamo to kill again. He has also given green cards to almost 1 million Muslims. Last week in Greece, he also warned against the rise of, quote, a crude sort of nationalism or ethnic identity or tribalism that is built around an us versus them. Like his first Secretary of State, this man, too, belongs in prison for his crimes. ¶¶ Okay, that's it for this first night of the week, and I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'at Yisrael.